God, and as we continue to pray, hallelujah. I have to say just what Brian even said about God rejoicing over us with singing. We just recently studied in our theology class the fact that we are made in the image of God. And there's many people that have said, yeah, but we fell into sin and God's image is marred. That's true. But if you notice throughout Scripture, even after the fall of man, when Cain committed the awful murder of his brother, and then God put a protection over Cain. Why? Because life was important. Because God dignified life. And then, of course, we have later on the Ten Commandments, verses, you will not or shall not kill. Why? Because being made in the image of God, God values life so importantly. And as we come to pray for the unborn, we come to pray and ask forgiveness for our sins and not taking part. And as we come into this text today in 1 John, which talks about praying in confidence, it gives us all the things that we need to pray with great confidence as we come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on that grounds, as we begin this passage, if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him. When we come to pray, when we come to face the Lord, we come through Jesus. We come believing in Jesus. In other words, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He made us good, as Brian said. He gave us His righteousness, and we have the dignity already of God in us. But when He made us and said, you are good, and then morally become good through the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is the fuel or the foundation for our confidence that we have in the Lord. And so today we're going to talk about praying with confidence. And in this text, John is encouraging the believers to have confident prayer. I'm not talking about prayer that's just like, Lord, thank you for this food, or God, you're neat, let's eat. You know, all those prayers, I've been guilty and been there and done that. Let's pray the prayer so we could eat. Or I have food in my mouth and my wife says, aren't we going to pray? Or I say, aren't we going to pray? And she, if I can catch her with food in her mouth, those sort of things. We're talking about coming before God with confidence that He will answer our prayers. There are those who say, why pray at all? Because God's sovereign over everything. He is in control. That's true. And then there's other extremes that say, take certain scriptures out of context, and they say, I'm telling you this verse, God, and you have to do this. And so whatever they want done in their life, if it's healing somebody, or, you know, if God wants to take them home and they're praying God heal them because it's for their own personal gain or their own personal sake, and they're quoting a verse and demanding that God does what He has to do. Those are extremes. But I want to say that God, in His sovereignty, has ordained prayer as the means of His actions toward us, because prayer brings us into intimacy with Him. And when we look at this whole thing of made in the image of God as we celebrate life, this is why God chooses to work His will through the prayers of His people, because in His sovereignty, He created us in His image. We are the pinnacle of His creation, and He loves us, and He draws us into that intimacy. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it this way, the God who determines the end determines the means. And if God, in His infinite wisdom, has determined that He's going to bring certain things to pass as a result of an answer to the prayers of His people, I ask with reverence, why shouldn't He? And it is there that I see this infinite condescension and kindness of God. It is His way of bringing us into giving us a share in the work and in the glory. Prayer brings us in alignment with the will of God. We can truly say that prayer is not to change God, but it is to change us. It is to bring us in alignment into an intimate relationship with Him. And also I want to point out there's a huge difference in simply praying and praying with confidence as a believer. An unbeliever can pray, but there's no foundation of confidence. You know, like when 9/11 happened, there's all kinds of people that were not saved that were praying because they were afraid and they were going into the church. And then after things kind of went away, all of a sudden they stopped praying. There's a difference between believers who pray with confidence and people who just pray a general prayer up to a God that may or may not be there. Without the right foundation, it is impossible to have a successful, meaningful prayer life. And John lays this foundation of four things that build confidence within us when we pray. These four things link together in succession like an unbroken chain to reach the end of the joy of experienced answered prayer. And I know in this congregation, in this assembly, we've experienced prayer after prayer after prayer, God answering. You say, is it because we're more special than other people? No. It's not because of that. It's simply because we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. It's simply because we strive as a congregation and community to pray in alignment with God's will. And we recognize and humbly come before the sovereignty of God and say, Your will be done, not ours. See, these four things link together. If a person believes in Jesus the Messiah, that person then will know for sure of their eternity, their destiny. And if they know for sure their destiny, they will pray according to God's will. And if they pray according to God's will, they will know that God hears and they can expect His answer. So as we launch into this text, I don't know if you notice in verse, as we come to verse 14, he says, and this is the confidence. He uses the word confidence here as we look in this text. And I want to talk about the meaning of that. First of all, when we come to God in confidence, the Greek word means to be free in speech or unreserved in speech. That means to be open, to be frank with God. It means to not conceal anything. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many times do we come before God and we say, God doesn't care about that stuff, so I'm not going to talk to Him about it? Or we come sheepishly and say, well, God probably doesn't care about these little details of my life. But when it says we pray with confidence, we hold nothing back. Without ambiguity, we don't have to sugarcoat things. We don't have to use figure and comparisons, it says in the Greek. But we're free and fearless. We have cheerful courage. We have that assurance to come before God. And you know, sometimes when we experience that as humans, if we go to ask somebody of something, we all of a sudden become like C.S. Lewis and try to put allegory to everything, because we're kind of afraid to really come out and say the answer. Or if somebody has mud on their face, you know, we try to think of a very kosher way of getting around it and say that. Stop doing that in your prayer, because the believer can come with confidence before God, holding nothing back. You don't think that God can't handle your anger? You don't think that God can't handle you cussing Him out? David knows that. He figured that out real quick. He came before God and said, God, where are you? God, what's going on? How come you haven't done this? And by the end of his Psalms, you know, he was an emotional mess. And by the end of his Psalm, he's on his face before God, recognizing that God is the God that answers prayer. So just so we don't misunderstand, when we come before God and let everything loose, that doesn't mean everything that we do is right. It means that it's a safe place to do it, because God can put us in our place and lead us into righteousness in that prayer closet. There's so many people in Christianity that adopt this fake form of religion. We try to sugarcoat everything in our lives. We make everything look good. We're seething with anger on the inside. We never let it out before God. We pretend like everything is good and we have white picket Christianity. So this confidence causes us to come before God to let everything loose. So as we launch into this text, the first thing that we want to point out is that praying with confidence comes from believing in Jesus Christ. Believing means to be completely persuaded of, to put confidence in, to trust. It's reliance upon. It's not just having a doctrinal statement. Well, our church believes this, or I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. No, it is I put my trust in Him. I'm relying on Him. This is the first foundation of a believer praying with confidence, is that they believe that Jesus is the Christ. They believe He's the Son of God. And notice he says there in verse 13, those who believe in the name of the Son of God. The belief is in the name. What is His name? Jesus Christ, which is God, our deliverer, or our Messiah, the only one that's qualified to take away the sin. This belief is coming to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you know that word name, when we talk about somebody's name, when you say your wife's name or your husband's name or child's name, somebody that you really care for, you don't just think of them, of their image or their picture. A lot more comes with that. When I think of my wife, I think of her kindness. I think of her grace. I think of all the things that she does. I think of her attributes. I think of her characteristics. I think about everything about her when I hear the name Tanya, because I've gotten to know her. When we say the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, when you look at the Greek word, that name is used for everything that the name covers. Everything, the thought or the feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, or remembering the name. It's for one's rank, authority, interest, pleasure, command, excellencies, deeds. This is all that is in a name. So doesn't that build your confidence when you know the Scriptures and say, God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider? I don't just think of the name Jesus Christ. I think of Him, well, He's my deliverer. He's the one that got me through a difficult time in my life. All that comes with the name of God. He is the one who promised to never leave me or forsake me. So confidence comes from trusting in the name and all that comes. Jesus' name has a whole entourage throughout the Scripture of His attributes and His characteristics. So we pray with confidence. It comes first by believing in Jesus Christ. But notice what he says next, that you may know, the end of verse 13, that you have eternal life. So one links to the other. If we have confidence in the name of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and we have confidence. And so that word knowing means to perceive with our eyes or senses. In other words, it means to have regard for, cherish, or pay attention to. So in other words, how often do we think about the eternal life that we've been given? That is fuel for the fire of your prayer life, is to think about the eternal life that Jesus Christ has given us. He says, you have confidence that you may know that you have eternal life. And if you know, then he goes right on to the next verse. He says, next section in verse 14, he says, this is the confidence that we have towards Him. See, the knowing is being absolutely sure we have eternal life. Are you absolutely sure you have eternal life? Now remember, as we've gone through our study in 1 John, what are the tests to know if we're truly born again? Does anybody remember any of the tests that we went through? Anybody? What's one of the ways that we know that we're truly born of God? Okay, we love the Word of God. What else? There's three main tests. I'll give you some hints. There's the moral test, which is what? Are we obeying His commands? There's the relational test. Do I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And am I loving others? And then there's the doctrinal test. Do I have the right doctrine of Scripture? What Keith was saying, do I love the Word of God and believe in the truth of Scripture? So the knowing is the experience or living in the reality of what we have in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to the next section, number 3. Praying with confidence comes from asking according to God's Word. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything... Notice it doesn't say there's certain things here, folks. It's anything. If we ask anything, and then here's the qualification, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him. So asking means to beg or call for or desire. Now, there's different words for ask in the Scripture, and this particular word carries the idea of when we come before God to ask, we are coming as a lesser person in position and who the petition is being made. So, in other words, we're recognizing God is sovereign. We're saying, I am the one that is needy. God is the one that can answer my prayer. That's what this asking is. It's not just asking willy-nilly. It's asking in humility, and that is the nuance of the word. And so the asking is aligning our hearts with God's will. The asking is coming humbly before God, recognizing His sovereignty. And we talk about God's will. What is God's will? That verb in the Greek means what one wishes or determines shall be done. It's the purposes of God to bless mankind through Jesus Christ and what God wishes to be done. So in other words, what God has given us through His commands, through His words, it's simply what God wants. It's simply what God's desired. It's simply what God has written to us. It's simply how God created the universe to function. And when we step outside of how it's meant to function, we're outside of the will of God. So when we want to know how to pray according to God's will, we have to get into the Word of God and digest it and understand it and dig in it so that we know what God's will is. My wife and I have these books. They're thick books. That one of them is called Praying the Scriptures for Worship. Another one's called Praying the Scriptures for Spiritual Growth. And all it is it puts scriptures in different categories like petition and intercession, asking forgiveness and repentance. And let me tell you, your prayer time could be such a long time as you pray through those scriptures, insert your name into it, and then basically bring those up as petitions before God. You can't go wrong doing that. You know, some of the folks that, I don't know if you remember Mary Lou Hinckley and some of those that have been served. She's in her 80s now, have served Jesus for a long time. She's blind. She can't see with her physical eyes, but boy, can she see in the spiritual realm. And when you listen to her prayers, there's always scripture that comes out. She's praying according to God's will. And when she prays, God answers. Because the Word of God dwells in her richly. She knows the will of God, and she prays according to God's will. Well, praying according to God's will may not be what this lady was praying here. She said a silent prayer that the baby would take after her side of the family. Some of those things that we pray are according to our selfish desires and motives. And then there's on the other side of it, we say, Lord, please bless me to have patience. We know one of the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, right? And I've even had people tell me, don't pray for patience or trials are going to come. Well, why shouldn't I pray for patience? If I want to have patience, God's going to put me in this traffic or something like that until I learn patience. But this is how God works in a very powerful way. So Martin Lloyd-Jones gives some basics about what the Bible teaches about praying according to God's will. And so I thought I would put it up here because it's worth our time as it breaks down the different scriptures. You say, what is praying according to God's will? Well, first of all, and this is going to give us some questions to ask ourselves on whether or not we are praying according to God's will. We must pray, number one, with the right motive. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So these are some questions that can tell, help us understand whether we have the right motives in our prayer or not. Is it for the glory of God or is it for ourselves to feel better? And then we could ask ourselves, why are you praying? Why do you want your prayers to be answered? Is it so that I look really good in front of the whole church because I prayed and then God answered and more people are going to come to me? What is the motive? What is the reason for that particular thing that you are asking for? Now, I've jokingly said before, I used to love, like when I was a kid, I had a matchbox car. It was a shiny silver Corvette. And someday I hope to have a Corvette, right? And I'm going to pray because Jesus said to ask. And what you ask for, you're going to receive, right? What is my motive to have that Corvette? What do you think it is? This is my pride. I think it's cool. I can't get it up my driveway. Yeah. I probably am getting to where sometimes my back goes out and I wouldn't be able to get in it. But what is my motive? What purpose would it serve for the kingdom of God? Well, that needs a ride to work. And that doesn't want to sit and ride in that lower, much less ride with me while I'm driving. Kathy Anastasia knows that. But we have to pray with the right motive. So that's the first part. Number two, is we must pray in faith, believing. And this is another error that we make in the church of God, is that do we really believe in Jesus Christ, or is it a desperate cry in the dark to any gods that are out there? Is there anyone out there? I don't know for sure. So this goes back to the first link in the chain, right? He who believes in the name of the Son of God is that there is a God, and his name is Jesus Christ. So it is it just a desperate experience or experiment? Doubtful the answer. Well, I'm going to pray and maybe just see what happens, but I really don't expect anything to happen. Matthew 21, Jesus said, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. James 1, verses 5 to 8 talks about if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask in faith without doubting. That's how the Bible tells us to pray. James 5:15 talks about the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So the prayer of faith. And when we talk about this faith is, do I really believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins? Do I really believe that he cares about these details in my life? Do I really believe that the Holy Spirit inside of me is going to get rid of the false motives and lay on my heart the things that I need to pray for? So we must pray in faith. Number three, we have to pray abiding in Jesus Christ, as John 15 teaches us, being obedient to God. The question I would ask is, am I pitching my tent with Jesus in my daily lifestyle? Am I dwelling with him? Am I experiencing intimacy with him? I'm not talking about, do I go to church on Sunday and I get all emotional, excited, and I got, amen, this and that, and then the rest of my life is lived completely different. How will God answer our prayers if I'm not in connection with him? Am I living in obedience to God's word? It's like How many, you can raise your hands for this, but how many of you have ever been convicted of something that you were doing wrong? The Holy Spirit convicted you, and you basically kind of said, well, it's not that important. And then you went on into your prayers and said, God, would you please bless me? Okay, Liz, more people are getting honest, you know, just let the wave, it's like a wave, it goes across, one here, one there. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. There's nothing greater than being confident and having a clean slate before the Lord. That's why I remember in the beginning of 1 John, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. That comes first. And we come before God with confidence because of the work of Jesus. Always goes back to the gospel. Always goes back to the name of the Son of God. And then number four, we have to pray according to God's will, as we already talked about. But we could ask ourselves these questions. Am I studying God's word so I know what to pray? Am I getting to know by experience the attributes of God? This is the confidence we have towards Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And then last of all, we must pray in the name of Jesus. And again, it goes back to the gospel again. Do I understand that Jesus is the only way or access I have to God? It's not, I'm going to pray to the man upstairs and see if he answers. We are praying through Jesus to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So we have five things. We have to have the right motive. We have to have faith believing. And we must pray abiding in Christ. And we must pray according to God's will. And we must pray in the name of Christ. So those are the five components of praying according to God's will. And so as we come into our last point in our text today, I think this one is really important as well, because it brings everything together in verse 15. You see how it links? If we do this, we do that. If we do this, this happens. And so we come to verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, and we know that He hears us if we're praying according to God's will, we know that we have, it doesn't say we will have, it says you already have it. The requests that we have asked from Him. And that word have means to hold in the hand. It's the sense of wearing. It's already there. That means we know God hears us when we pray. That is confident praying. Because if I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, if I pray according to God's will, I know that He will answer. And I know the answer is already there. That is faith. That is confidence. It means that we already possess or hold in our hand the answer to the petitions we've asked of God. You know, that word hear, when we talk about God hearing us, is a very special word, and it's full of great meaning. It means that His ears are open to us. It means that His heart is enlarged towards us. That word here means to attend or consider. So not only is God just hearing, He is considering and attending to with an enlarged heart towards us. Now, have you ever heard the phrase, whoever is the king's favorite has the king's ear? You heard that statement in maybe different terms? This does not mean that the king cannot physically hear others' voices, but that the king pays special attention to his favorite. And I want to say the same thing is with us. If you are born again, you are a child of God. Which means if we're born again, we are God's beloved children, and we have His ear. And we have what Brian read out of Zephaniah. He rejoices over us with singing because we are his beloved. We already have in hand. Now, for us, before we go to understand this a little bit deeper, this does not mean agonizing in prayer until we convince ourselves that we have what we ask for. That's a lot of the faith healers and the teachers on TV want you to do that. It's like, if you just quote this verse 20 times, and if you send this prayer cloth in or whatever that is saying, then God's going to answer. So people are striving. It's almost like they're beating themselves to say, I'm going to convince myself. I know it's true. 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 Then it's going to happen. No, that's not what it is. We have the answer to our prayers when we know our prayer came to our heart from the Holy Spirit and when we pray God's known will from His Word. There's two things, Word and Spirit. It is when we are prompted by the Spirit to pray something in our lives. And what do I mean by that? Have you ever, there are times when I have prayed for people or people have come for prayer And or I am in the hospital with somebody and I know that and the Spirit just prompts me in my heart, I'm going to heal this person. And I'm going to read you the scripture in a moment here. And the more you become intimate with Christ and the more you get to know the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to know His voice and understand those promptings. But you know that you know, and that's what we're talking about. There's a supernatural aspect here that comes from the Holy Spirit as we get to know Him. And I pray for them and they're healed. And then there are times I'm praying for somebody. It's like, I just don't get, I'm not hearing anything. I'm going to pray in faith that God does His will in their lives. I'm not going to go in a hospital where somebody is dying and the children are around grieving. And I know it's their time to go. They know it's the time to go. And I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up out of that bed. Or you just need to have more faith and believe that Granddad, although he's 90 years old and he's gone through everything in his life, is going to live. Now, there might be times when the Holy Spirit wants you to do that and prompts you to pray for that, but I'm not going to give them a false hope. But I will pray, Lord Jesus, I believe that you can heal Grandpa. You're able to do above what I can ask for pray today, but I pray that your will would be done in this family for your greatest glory and for your good. And if you want to bring them home, oh, the joy I know he would experience with no more suffering. So what am I talking about? There's the two dynamics. If we just read Mark chapter 11, and Jesus answered, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain be taken up and thrown into the seas does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, if we take that scripture and isolate that by itself without going to this scripture right here, we would come to wrong conclusions about prayer. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, because when you come before the throne of God and you just don't know what to say except to groan. But the Spirit intercedes. And it says, He who searches hearts, the Spirit searching our hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit? Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God, to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. If that means a trial and God is not going to take something away that I'm asked for Him to remove it because the Holy Spirit is working in my heart, we can know this, that it's for our good. That's what it says there. But folks, do you realize what we have when we've been given the fullness of the Spirit? If we have the Spirit inside of us, He groans. And He knows the will of God. And He will communicate God's will when we pray. I can't explain it in physical terms. But I do know this. He works hand in hand with the will of God, and which is the Word of God. And you can't separate the Word from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. Which just means that we don't just sit around and try to conjure up, okay, I finally believe this, so it's going to happen. No. Is it according to God's Word? Has the Holy Spirit prompted and laid that on my heart? Is He working in me? Am I humble before God to able to accept whatever He brings out? Am I like Jesus when He comes to the garden to pray, not my will, but yours be done? Is that the position of my heart? It is also the position of my heart to believe that God does miracles, and He will do miracles, and He will answer prayers. And that's what this text is all about today. So we can pray with confidence from believing in Jesus Christ. We can pray with confidence that comes from knowing our eternal destiny. Praying with confidence comes from asking according to God's will. And praying with confidence comes from having answered prayer. I love how, you see how He did this here. He starts with belief. He starts with having confidence. And then He says, we know that He hears us if we pray according to His will. And then we have it already in our hands because it's God's will. So I want to charge you and encourage you today as the saints of God. Is your prayer life confident? If it's not, I want to invite you. I want to ask our worship team to come now. You say, you know what? Today I want to make a step of commitment, of surrendering my life to the Holy Spirit in prayer. Or you could be here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've had religion. You've been in church. You've thought you've been a good person, but you've never put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus. That is the first step to a confident prayer life. You can't have prayer without being saved. You can't have prayer without being changed by the power of the gospel. And so I want to invite you as we sing this song, whatever the case may be, if you're here today for the first time to receive Jesus, I want you to invite you to come to the altar. I want to invite you, if you're here today and you're a believer and you want to reinvigorate your prayer life and surrender to the Holy Spirit, do that. Do that where you're seated. Do that up here. Grab somebody after the service. Whatever God is working in your heart, don't ignore the Spirit. There's been so many times that it's been spoken in this church where the Spirit has prompted me to do this, but I put it off and I was afraid. I didn't want to do it and I regretted it. Don't do that. If God is working in your heart and you need prayer today, come down. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You would touch our hearts. Father God, I pray that You would build up strong, confident prayer warriors in this assembly. Father, I pray that You would take away our fears, our shame. And Lord, we celebrate together and revel in the fact that You know us, that You love us, that You call us Your children, that You delight to answer prayer, that You've included us in this great work on earth through prayer. Father, I pray that You'd remove the barriers in our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome Your presence.